Man, what's so great about Christmas? What is so great about Christmas? Well, tonight I'm going to preach on something that is actually contrary to what most of us identify with Christmas. Most of us don't identify this thing right here with Christmas. We actually identify the opposite, all right? So seems kind of odd that we would be here on a Christmas Eve and we are talking about something that is contrary to Christmas. Are you ready? But it has a lot to do with Christmas. People don't understand it, but here it is. You ready? Here it is. Watch this. Come on, iPad. Here we go. Peace. How many of you want some peace around this time of year? How many of you glad it's almost over? Listen, I was praying for peace yesterday when I started shopping. Hey, listen, if you ever want good entertainment, go to the mall a couple days before Christmas. It's a trip. It's mostly dudes. And I'm convinced you could sell them anything. I'm serious. Because the women are just like, they don't carry much. The dudes are like, man, it's a totally different world, right? How many of you start on Christmas Eve? I usually start shopping on Christmas Eve. I kid you not. This year, the services have messed my whole plan up. Really have messed up my whole plan. But hey, listen, I don't normally typically think of Christmas and the holidays and peace. And let me just say this. Neither does this lady right here because she has a different idea. This has got to be the only person I watch that's a dude that's a chick, all right? Here it is. You ready? Here it is. Peace be still. Because I keeps me a piece of steel. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I know what some of you are already thinking. I can see the expression on your face. You're like, I mean, come on, it's Christmas Eve. I mean, we need to be, you know, it's got to be about Jesus. Well, all right, I got something for you. How about this one? As long as I have a piece of steel, y'all have peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's the spiritual one. That's the spiritual one, you know. How many of you know Medea has a different idea of peace than what some people do? Everybody has a different idea of what peace really is. And I'm here tonight to tell you that Christmas to me, when it comes to what is so great about Christmas, I'm here to tell you the greatest thing about Christmas is peace. Peace. And it's amazing because oftentimes we don't identify peace with Christmas. But I'm here to tell you, man, really what it's all about. So let's get right into the Word and find out what the Bible has to say about this thing that the Bible calls peace. So check this out. We're going to look at the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. So here it is. This is Luke chapter 2. It says this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly what? They were greatly afraid. Now watch this. Then the angel, who's speaking? The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings. How many of you believe Christmas is about good tidings? Good tidings, man. It's a good tidings. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to, come on, all people, everybody. For there will be born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is? Yeah, that's right, Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now watch this. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, listen to what they were saying. It's pretty powerful. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards God. Men. Can I tell you that was God's plan for Christmas? That on the earth, peace would be established. And I'm not talking about the absence of war or conflict. I'm talking about the absence of conflict within man's heart. Because the problem, every human problem has to do with the human heart. And Jesus came to fix the human heart. Because the human heart was the heart of the human problem. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? Or was that too fast on a Friday, Saturday? What day is it? Anybody know? I know it ain't Sunday, praise God. I'm all messed up. We had greeters out there going, good morning. Good morning. They told me about it, so I thought it was funny. Listen, on earth what? Peace. Do you know that God came to bring peace. God came to bring peace. Because before Jesus, there was no real peace. There was no real peace. Only after Jesus do we find this whole thing called peace. Now get this. Here's what's pretty interesting. Here's a question I want to ask you. Do you have constant, unwavering peace in your heart? Do you have a constant, unwavering, non-moving peace in your heart? You say, well, Pastor Charlie, I do. If you do, you're a small percentage of people on this planet. If you say, no, I don't, then guess what? Here's what they found out. Recent study showed this. Recent study showed 85% of all humans have little to no peace on an ongoing basis in their life. In other words, the average person, 85% of the population, has no peace in their life. Has no peace. So if you say, I don't have peace, guess what? You're like most people. But if you're one of those people that has peace, that's unwavering and it doesn't move, I'm here to tell you, you are a blessed person. And I will tell you this. I will tell you this. There's no way you can find that peace outside of the one who is the peacemaker. There's no one. See, here's the reality. Check this out. I believe on this planet, peace is the highest commodity on this earth. Out of everything that anybody wants, you know what they want? They want peace. Check it out. It is possible to have position, to have power, to have people, possessions, and it's even possible to have all the pills you want, and you still don't have any peace. You still don't have any peace. You can have money, possessions, power. You can have everything you want on this planet, everything that the world would have to offer, and yet still not have peace. Because the reality is, peace is not something you possess like possessions. It isn't something you talk to or communicate to like people. It isn't something you possess like power. It isn't that. It's only found in the one person who brought peace. Check this out. True peace is only found in one person. Only one person. Anybody know who he is? Come on, he's Jesus. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says it this way. It says, for unto us a... Come on, we all know this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a... Son is given. That's God's perspective, man's perspective. And the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name will be called... What is it? Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. And listen to this one. Prince of Peace. See, you can't have peace until the Prince of Peace is the centerpiece of your life. It's not. It's only once Jesus becomes the centerpiece that you can have peace. See, there's a fake peace that's in the earth today. And people get it and they think it's in possessions or they think it's in people or they think it's in that. And what will happen is they get those things and they're happy for a while and they're happy for a season, but that wears off. And once that wears off, peace wears off. And then they got to go out and find something else. Or maybe it's like a drug addict or a drug dealer or somebody like that, where they take something, or an alcoholic. They tank and they start drinking and they find peace for a while, but then the alcohol wears off. And then the torment comes back, and it comes back worse than what it was from the beginning. See, there's really no peace without the true peacemaker. Jesus is the peacemaker. Say, how did he make peace? He made peace by coming and dying on the cross. Because here's the reality. You and I, all of us, were born sinners onto this planet. And when we were born in sin, we were born enemies of God. And because we were born enemies of God, we were enemies of ourselves. This is why the Middle East, for example, those people have been fighting for thousands of years. Go over there and ask them if there's a whole lot of Jesus, too. Not a whole lot of Jesus. You want to know why? You only have peace with men when you can have peace with yourself. You can only have peace with yourself when you have peace with God. And you can only have peace with God through Jesus Christ, the peacemaker. That's way good. And that's only my second time. Listen, I'm telling you, I believe that with all my heart, though. I believe that with all my heart, that you can only have peace when the peacemaker comes and lives in your heart. When the peacemaker comes and lives in your heart, I promise you it changes everything. You'll find out that you want to live in peace with people. You don't want to fight and fuss. You can be at the mall and still walk in peace. You can be looking for your wife something on Eve of Christmas Eve. And everybody's saying, hey, Pastor Charlie, hey, Pastor Charlie, what are you doing, Pastor Charlie? Oh, just finishing up. More like getting started. Any dudes, come on, any real dudes. I'm belling some of you out right here. It's okay. It's okay. Say, Pastor Charlie did it. All right, anyway. No, here's the truth, though. You can find out that you can walk in a whole level of peace with Jesus. Now, listen, here's the deal. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus as the centerpiece of your life, I'm telling you, you have a false peace. You have a false peace, and it wears off. And that's why you jump from one thing to another thing, trying to find real peace. The truth and the reality is you will only find real peace with a relationship with Jesus. See, and let me tell you what's so awesome about this. You think you enjoy life now without him. You think you have a good time. Can I tell you, I promise you, it's hard-pressed to find a brother that has a better time than me. I have a good time in life. Because here's what I found. When Jesus is at the centerpiece of my life, I enjoy life at a whole nother level. I can enjoy hunting, fishing, driving in my hot rod, hanging out with Michelle at the mall. But I got peace. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Peace, man. I'm at peace with it. At peace. That's the peace that Jesus offers us. So what's so special about Christmas? It's the peace of God that can come and live on the inside of us. Come and live on the inside of us. And I would just ask you tonight, do you have that peace? Do you have that peace? See, check this out. It's peace with Christ before it's the peace of Christ. People say, oh, I want to be at peace. Pastor Charlie, I want to be at peace with people. I don't want to be fighting with everybody. I'm tired of fighting with everybody. Why don't you give your heart to Christ? I don't want no religious stuff. I just don't want to fight with nobody. Okay, let me explain something. You don't like you. You don't like you. And you don't like other people. You in a mess. You need Jesus. Can I get a witness in here? It's for real, man. For real, for real. There's no doubt about it. Listen to what the Bible says. This is Colossians chapter 3. It says this. This is the Amplified Version. It says, and let the peace, soul harmony, which comes, watch this, not from outside, from Christ's rule, act as the umpire continually. See, when Christ is the centerpiece of your life, and he is the umpire of your life, he keeps you in that peace. He keeps you in that. In your hearts, deciding and setting and settling with finality all questions that arise in our minds. In that peaceful state to which, as members of Christ, one body, you were also called to what? You were called to live in peace. You were called to live in that peace. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. Look at this. Let the word spoken by Christ the Messiah have its home in your hearts and in your minds. Notice he's saying, if you want the peace that Jesus has, that when you're a believer in him, you should have, you're going to have to allow the word of God to be the rule and the centerpiece of your heart. You're going to have to let the word of God rule your heart. In your mind. That means, you know, well, I feel and I this and I that. That doesn't work. You got to let the word of God say. If the word of God says it, that settles it. I believe it. Come on, I've said it 1,000 times in our church. If God's word says it, that settles it. Therefore, I believe it. Absolutely. See, check this out. God's peace. A lot of people think this. Well, if I walk in God's peace, then I'm not going to have any problems and everything's going to be cool. Can I tell you, God's peace is not the absence of problems. Truthfully, here's you ready for this? Here's a revelation for you. The fight starts when you get saved. That's where the battle starts. But the reality is this. A lot of times people think that I can walk in peace. As long as I don't have problems, I can walk in peace. No. Here's the reality. The reality is God's peace is not the absence of problems. It's not the absence of problems. That's a misunderstanding of God's peace. See, check this out. Jesus said it this way in John 16. He said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have what? Peace. Notice that he says, you can have peace, but where's that peace found? In him. How many of you believe it's in him? You can have peace in him. You can't have peace outside of him. You have peace in him. Now watch. Look at the next part of that verse. It says, in the world you will have tribulation. You better believe it. You're going to have times. Not everything is going to pop up petunias and turn up tulips and sing your favorite song. Is that a revelation to you guys? You're looking at me funny. No, here's the reality. It's not. Everything isn't perfect. Everything isn't rosy. I know a lot of people think that. I could just have peace as long as there wasn't no problems. Nah, it's not what the Bible teaches. Here's what Jesus teaches. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome them. I've overcome the world. See, get this. He says, listen, the reason you can have peace is not because you don't have problems. It's just if you know he is at the centerpiece of your life, you know that those problems eventually have to bow to the King and King and the Lord of Lords. Amen? You know that those problems have to bow to him eventually. Why? Because he has overcome them. He has overcome everything. He has defeated every foe ever mentioned. He has defeated it. And as long as we abide in him, we can walk in peace. Our problem is sometimes we try and walk outside of him and live in peace. How many of you know there's where the problems start? Most of the time. Look at this. This is John 14, 27. It says this. Peace I leave with you. Again, this is the Amplified. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give you and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be what? Troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Quit allowing the world to agitate you and disturb you. You know what I'm saying? Quit allowing it. Don't allow it. Don't allow the world to mess with your peace. Don't allow it. God has called you to live in peace and walk in peace. So when you're at the mall and you're not moving fast enough and they honk at you, smile and wave, boys. Right? Whatever you do, don't verbally non-communicate. The other day I was driving down the road right over here on Lincoln and someone decided they would drift. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what they were doing, but they were drifting. And I believe that a horn is a verbal communication tool. Can I get a witness from anybody in here? All right. Now, I will tell you this. Here's what we found in our home. We believe that there are two types of people whenever it comes to a horn. There are those of you, like my wife, who believe they should never be used under any circumstances. All right. Last night I was preaching. Had someone come up to me and said, Pastor Charlie, my husband has a problem with the horn. I said, what's that? She goes, he thinks the only time you should use it is when I need to come out of the house. Merry Christmas. They're hilarious. But anyway, but it cracked me up. But here's the truth. This guy was drifting the other day with me, and I just honked my horn. All right? Well, he pulled up, I hung my horn because he was like, I thought, you know, here's the deal. You're in the right lane. I'm in the left lane. We're going down Lincoln. He starts drifting. I mean, I was concerned he was going to end up in the other road, oncoming traffic. No, for real. I was like, where is he going to stop? So I let him know. You should stop here. All right? And I honked at him. I wasn't rude or nasty. So I pulled around him, you know, and I didn't get on it. I didn't do nothing. And I've learned, especially in my position as a pastor, I know how to react to people. He rolled down the window and he's, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, listen, that's 15 years of pastoral experience that's taught me that. There were years past when now I'm like the penguins on Madagascar. Smile away, boys. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you might know what I'm saying? Because God forbid it be a church person. Like, oh, there's a greeter. See you at church later. But I know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's the worst. Yeah. Not that it's ever happened to me. But anyway, all right. And do not permit yourselves to be what? Fearful or intimidated or cowardly and unsettled. Don't allow those things to rob you of peace. See, get this. True peace does not mean problems are absent, but it means Jesus is present. It means Jesus is present. See, true peace is not the absence of problems or issues or things that we've got to overcome. It just means Jesus is present. Listen, as long as I know Jesus is present with me, doesn't matter what comes. Doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter. I'm going to let him be the center point of my life. And as he is the center point of my life, I know everything's going to work out. How many of you know all things work together for the good? How many of y'all know that? How many of you know if God be for me, who can be against me? How many of you know serpents and scorpions, no power of the enemy shall by any means hurt me? How many of you know 1,000 at my left, 1,000 at my right, but it shall not come nigh unto me? Come on, those are promises of God that we can claim over our lives, and we can know that the peace of God can rule my heart because the word of God rules my heart, praise God. I'm going to set my heart on it, I'm going to believe it, and settle it in my heart. See, problems are not absent in my life, but let me tell you, Jesus is present. And because he's present, that's all that really matters. So now, let's talk about some enemies of God's peace in your life. I believe there are enemies of peace. And oftentimes as believers, even as non-believers, we don't recognize them. So tonight I'm going to do my very best to talk about those. Number one, you ready? This is a big one. The unknown. How many of you know the unknown sometimes is a fearful place? Yeah? And I'll be honest with you, I don't struggle with all these. These are the ones that came to my mind. The unknown really doesn't bother me too much, but sometimes it does. Because you don't know how God's going to do something. How many of you ever run through something in your mind that never even happened? Yeah? Yeah? See, to me, this is no joke. You can ask Michelle. I have to watching TV a lot, especially at night. Because I'm a dreamer. Anybody, do we got any dreamers here? A dreamer, what I mean by dreamers is whatever I watch, I do it in my sleep. I've been Jason Bourne. I've been Duck Dynasty. I've been The Notebook. I mean, that's sad. It's sad. Sad. Make you cry. That's a punk movie. Come on, I gotta watch what I watch. I gotta watch what I watch, man. Otherwise, I'm doing that in my sleep. I wake up in the morning. I'll tell Michelle, guess what I was doing last night? Let me guess. No, hey, seriously, so listen to this. A lot of times our imagination will take us into a place, especially in the unknown, that we were never intended to go to. Look at this. I found this little thing going on. This is a 500 years ago, there was he was a French, what is the name? Oh, what's the name? Philosopher, thank you. French philosopher that said this, my life has been filled with terrible misfortune, most of which has never happened. Any of you like that? You think about it? I mean, how many dudes, you've already figured out if somebody breaks in their house, what you're flipping over, how you're grabbing your gun, how you're defending the house, what you're telling your wife to do, and how you're protecting the kids. Oh, I'm the only one. My bad. I've never thought that. But, I mean, if that was to happen, I was thinking, you know. No, hey, seriously, it's pretty amazing. Even like tomorrow, we're going to travel to see my daughter. I've already figured out 50,000 things that the car could possibly do. We're taking two cars. We'll be back next Friday, so I'll be preaching next week. That's not the issue. But I've already figured out 50,000 things that could go with the cars. So I've changed the oils, changed the tires, made sure all the fluids are topped off and everything else. I'm bringing battery cables, toolboxes. Anybody like that? Because you're like, anything could break at any moment. How many of you know chances are I'm going to drive there, drive back, not even a problem? But just in case, I'm ready. I'm ready. We'll rebuild the motor right there on the side of 70. Right there. See, here's what happens. Oftentimes, we allow the unknown to rob us of the peace of God. Listen, how many of you know God has already been into your future? He promised he would guard and watch over your future. Amen? So how many of you know you can rest in him and have peace that your future is handled? Mm-hmm, for sure. See, look at this. This same article that I got that quote of, I got this. This is pretty funny. Lo and behold, it turns out that 85% of what subjects worried about, this was a study that a college did, 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. And with the 15% that it did happen, 79% of the subjects discovered either they could handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. This means that 97% of what you worry over is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you with exaggerations and misconceptions. How many believe that right there? There's no reason to fear the unknown. Jesus has already been in the unknown. He already knows your future. He knows everything about it. So all you got to do is relax, keep him at the center point of your life, and you can walk in peace. Amen? Let me tell you about another one. Some of you struggle with this one. Maybe the unknown is not the enemy of peace in your life, but this one may be. You ready? Control. And you can tell these folks, because you ask them, and they'll deny it. Do you like to control? No, I don't like to control everything. I just like to be in charge. Yeah. They want control. They want to control everything. See, because get this, well, by them controlling everything, they don't have to worry about everything because everything's under their management and everything's under their control. And if something goes bad, it's on them with it because then it's not on you and then they blame you. Then it's on them because they're in control. They can control everything. Control everything. Yeah. Some people struggle with that big time. How about this? What we want is not necessarily what we need. And what we need is what we should want. You say, well, Pastor Charlie, I don't get it. Let me connect it. What we want is not necessarily what we need. I want control. I want to control everything. I want to control every aspect. Can I tell you what you want, you don't need? There are certain things that God has put outside of the realm of your control. You can't control those things. More times than not, most in counseling with people, I meet with them, and especially people, it seems like it happens a lot more over the phone than it does necessarily in a counseling appointment. But someone will call, and they'll be wigging out, and they're upset, and they're wound up like a three-day clock, and they're telling me about all their problems and all that stuff. And they're going on about this and that, and their son who won't get a job, won't work, he's 40 years old, won't do nothing. It's like, Wow. And I'm like, well, does he live with you? No, he lives somewhere else. Blah, 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 blah. And they're just going on. And again, this is no one in this church, no one. I'm just using this is my made-up story, all right? So they're telling me all this, and I'll stop them. And I'll say, let me ask you a question. Can you control any of that? And they'll say, no. I'll say, let me just give you my take on this. You ready? I break everything else in my world into two categories. Everything in my world is in two categories. Controllables and non-controllables. Controllables and non-controllables. What I have found, not with everybody, but most, what I have found is most people spend most of their time worrying about non-controllables. They spend a lot of their energy and a lot of their frustration, a lot of their irritation comes from things that they can't even control. And they're all worried about it. Will the stock market, or the this, or the that, or the this, or the that, or the this. A bunch of stuff they have no control over. And then oftentimes they neglect areas in which they do have total control over. Yeah. See, the truth is, if you look at your life and you say, I can control these things. My husband? No, I'm just kidding. It was a joke. It was a joke. All right, listen. I can control these things. Watch this. I can control myself. I can control my temperament. I can control my behavior. Watch this. I can control my outlook on this. I can control my faith about this. I can control a lot of those things, but these are things I can't. I can't control other people. I can't control what my boss does. I can't control what they do. Can't control what my kids do. All I can do is worry about what I, and not even worry, all I can do is concentrate on what I am supposed to concentrate on. So the person that says, I gotta have control, actually, let me tell you what that is. That's actually a lack of faith in God that he can control it. Yeah. See, because when you let go, he takes over. But when you take over, he's not gonna fight you for the will. He's not gonna fight you for the will. You gotta back off and say, God, you take the will. Jesus, take the will. Yeah, there's some truth in that. I like the Cletus take the real better. But anyway, that's a funny version. But here's the truth. The truth is, what you want is not necessarily what you need. Because I met people, I just need more control. No, because the person who wants to control more, guess what they do? They control more and God moves further out. And then they control even more and God moves further away. And they control even more and the whole time they're just complicating their problems. When really if they would back off, let God take over, then I promise you they'd see better results in their life. And honestly, they would have greater peace. Because the truth is they don't need more control. They need more of this. They need more of Jesus. They need more of Jesus taking over their life because he is the only one that's going to give them true, authentic peace. Here's what I found in my own life, and I don't know if it's like yours, but this is my life for sure. When I focus on the wrong things, I desire control. When I focus on him, I walk in peace and he is in control. Which one would you rather have? Huh? I'd rather have this one right here. But I will tell you, I have a tendency, some of you may can join with me. When I focus on the wrong things, I want to control it. I find myself all the time saying, I just need to let this go. I need to let this go. Because the only way I'm going to get through this is just letting go. Because I can wrap my hands around it, and I can try and control every aspect of it, and I can try and railroad this thing and make it happen and do all that. And honestly, that's not where I end up having peace. I end up having trouble. Anybody ever done anything that you knew God didn't tell you to do? Because you were going to do it? Because you were in control? I mean, we bought a house one time. Bought a house over here in Kokomo, all right? Went from the country to over here, and the Lord told me not to do it. It was so bad. Listen, this is no kidding. No kidding. Ask my wife. She's right there. Watch this. We close on the house. We leave there. We go to the Southside Taco Bell. We were so depressed. That was a joke. We go to Taco Bell in the South End, and let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. I'm crying trying to eat a taco. And I'm just going to tell y'all, if y'all don't know this about me, I'm not a crier. I'm just not why. I mean, I cry, but like, you know, Bambi, whatever. But yeah, no, I mean, for real. Some people, I'm for real. Like, Notebook, I hate that show. That made me cry. Michelle went to bed 20 minutes before it ends, and you find out at the end they're all sick and dying. That was a terrible show. All right? I mean, I'm serious. Any show that don't end right, I'm mad. And if animals die, I'm upset and I'm crying. Free Willy? For real. I'm not a crier. I am not a crier. People die, it's like, oh. I'll pray for him. But Free Willy, come on. You can free the whale, man. I don't know why I'm that way, but I kid you not. So I'm not a guy that just shows up and cries at events, all right? So get this. Here we are. We closed on this house. I knew God told me not to, but I made it happen because I'm in control. I can do this thing. Here's when I learned a great lesson. Just because I can do it doesn't mean I should. Just because I can doesn't mean I should. Okay, now listen. So we're at Taco Bell, and I'm eating a taco, bawling my eyes out. Michelle says, why are you crying? I don't know. We shouldn't have done it. I knew I wasn't supposed to do it. I just don't know what to do. I'm a wreck, man. My kids are like, is Dad going to be all right? Babe, am I lying? Am I telling the truth? I am telling you the God's honest truth, man. I am a train wreck. Train wreck. We go to that house the night we closed on it. To make it worse, they got coyotes everywhere. We're laying in bed. It's like, I'm like, oh, we're in hell. We're in hell. God, forgive us. I put my family in a bad place. I can't do it. I'm in control. You ain't in control. You think you're in control. I learned some huge lessons over that 10 months, man. It was huge. And can I just say this? If you're one of those people that has to have control, why don't you make it your New Year's resolution to let Jesus take a little bit more control over your life? Amen? You'll find that you'll walk in a lot more peace. I promise you that. Here's what Proverbs says about this. It says, trust this Amplified, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord. Oftentimes, I got to control, is rooted in the opposite of that. It's the opposite of that. I don't have confidence in the Lord. That's why I need to run it. After all, what could God possibly know? That was sarcasm, guys. Sarcasm. God knows it all. With all your heart and with all your mind, and do not rely on your own insight or, oh my goodness. If there was one Bible verse you should memorize in all of your life, it's this one right here. It goes on to say this. In all of your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Yeah. But do not be wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. And it goes on. It shall be health to your nerves. Y'all didn't even know that was in the Bible. Hey, here's the truth. You ready? And I preached on this before, so I don't want to belabor it. When you walk in peace, it's actually healthier for you. You live longer and happier when you're not wound up trying to control everything. You live at rest and at peace. How many of y'all hear what I'm saying tonight? So we got control. We got the unknown. Let me give you the third enemy of your peace, and then I'm going to show you how to walk in peace here in a couple hours. No, I'm serious. Say, check this out. We canceled last Saturday night and Sunday morning. There's two. I got 2 hours in the bank. And then this weekend, we're only doing two services, so there's four. I got 4 hours in the bank going into next year, y'all, which I can cash in at any time. Maybe tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. Look at this. Here's the last one, and I believe this is the hardest one when it comes to the peace of God in your heart. You ready? Anybody ever been here? Silence. Anybody ever prayed and God didn't say nothing? Anybody ever been asking God and it just seems like he's not showing up? Ever been believing for something? It's like, what? It's just silent. What's going on? Well, I'm going to give you some advice here. Check this out. It is hard to have peace when you feel like either God's not here or God's not listening. Boy, it's hard. It's hard to have peace. Let me show you something. His silence is not his absence. His silence is not his absence in your life. You may feel like he's being silent, but can I tell you, he is not absent from your life. How many of you know the Bible says he will never leave you nor forsake you? Mm-hmm. See, get this. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus in a boat. Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. Now, let's read this story. And listen, don't super spiritualize this. These are normal people, y'all. Y'all know the disciples? They're normal dudes. Check this out. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 says this. On the same day when the evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Who said that? Jesus said that. How many of you know if Jesus said it, it's going to happen? They're going to the other side. They are headed to the other side. Now watch this next verse. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling up with water. But he was in the stern, asleep, on a pillow. Asleep on a pillow. Y'all don't see it. You don't read it like I read it. If I'm in a storm and there's 12 dudes and the leader of the dudes is laying on the front of the boat with a pillow, sleeping, not even awake, and we're taking water on. Oh, he's getting kicked. He's getting kicked. You better not. I mean, and I imagine somebody, I know we super spiritualize these guys and everybody's like, well, maybe we should pray. That was not going on, y'all. They're sinking, all right? And they're looking around going, what? And you know what I'm looked at? And I bet Peter would be like, a pillow? Pillow? I'm going to kick him. I bet Peter said, hey, Judas, won't you take it? That's not in your Bible. I just thought of that. When'd you take it, you thief? You know, I've wondered about this thing right here. But the key is Jesus is asleep, acting. Listen, his silence is not his absence, though. His silence is not his absence. They think he's checked out. I mean, if I was in the boat, I'd kick him, take his pillow, throw it overboard, and be like, brother, you need to start bailing with us. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one? Don't act super spiritual in here. That's the truth. And they awoke him, and they said to him, teacher, they were being nice. Do you not care that we are perishing? Hello? And then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So you go from the guy with the pillow on the front of the boat, rebuking us, telling the winds what's up, and then where are the dirtbags in all this? How did we end up the dirtbags? Come on, you know they walked off of that boat going, I bet you won't say nothing the next time. I can see it. It's a good thing I wasn't one of them. I'd be like, way to go, Peter. got us all in trouble. that's just me how I see it. It cracks me up. It really does. Because to me, these are real people, man. They're real people. And God is silent. And they're like, what is going on? Can I tell you, I don't know if you've ever had those experiences, but I've had them in life. Where it's like, I know Jesus is in my boat, but man, he must be asleep. You know? But here's what I want to tell you about this. Here's what I want to tell you. His silence is not his absence. He's with you. He's with you. And listen, here's the truth. In the story, Jesus woke up. He rebuked the winds and the waves. And if you'll read on down through the text, he says, how is it that you have no faith? Which amazes me because here's what he expected them to do. He expected them to stand up and rebuke the winds and the waves. He expected them to use their faith. He expected them to be active participants in the things of God. Y'all hearing me tonight? He expected them to use their faith. Otherwise, he wouldn't have rebuked them for not using their faith. Y'all hear what I'm saying? See, oftentimes we're crying out to God, and God's like, why don't you speak to that thing? Why don't you say something to that thing? Why don't you tell that thing to go off somewhere? Y'all hearing what I'm saying? God wants you to participate. See, it's one thing for Jesus to stand up and do a miracle. It's another for God to use you to do something grand and awesome for his kingdom. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? So don't despise the quiet times. Go ahead. It's all right. Give the Lord a clap. Praise God. That's right. See, here's the reality. He might be silent, but he's not absent. How do we know? Mark 5 says this. And they came over to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. How many of you know they made it to the other side? Because Jesus promised it and they made it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So how do you walk in peace each and every day of your life? I'm going to give you three principles real quick here, and I'm going to give them to you pretty fast. Here it is. Number one, I'm going to take all this out of Philippians 4. So if you're reading something this week, go to Philippians 4. Here it is. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything by prayer. Everybody say prayer. Now, I want you to see this because this is powerful. This is powerful. I want you to see what prayer does to you. I want you to see what prayer does to you. Y'all didn't hear me, but I'm going to say it. I want you to see what prayer does to you. I didn't say to God. I want you to see what prayer does for you when it comes to peace. Watch this. And be anxious for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your requests be known to who? God. Known to God. Watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will, watch this, guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer opens your heart and opens your mind so that God's peace can guard your heart and your mind. God's, when you pray, it's you. Just imagine yourself opening up to God. And whenever you pray, peace settles in over your mind. peace settles in over your heart. And peace guards your heart and your mind when you pray. So if you're worried about something, what should you do? Well, I should Facebook it. No, I should call Susie and tell her. No, what should you do? You pray. Why? If you're struggling with something and you've got anxiety about something, take that thing and say, Lord, I need you to help me with that. I need you to help me. Because the Bible says when you do that, you've opened yourself up and then his peace comes down. And it guards your mind and your heart. And it keeps you flowing in the right direction. So the first thing we do when we're not walking in peace is we should turn to prayer. We should pray. And that doesn't mean, listen, I'm not talking about the religious idea of prayer. I'm talking about the real, authentic, I love you, God. Come on. Lord, help me. Lord, minister to me. God, I'm worried about my bills. I'm worried about the kids. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. I've got some anxiety going on. Lord, let your peace just overshadow me in Jesus' name. How many of you know that'll work? And promised. It's promised right there. He says this, so lend the peace of God will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Prayer. How many of you know prayer will do that? Look at the next verse. The next verse goes on and it says this. It says this. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. How many of you know whatsoever is going on here? Whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, look at this. Meditate on these things. Look at this. He's saying, meditate on these things. So what I did, here's what I did. Here's what I did. Well, and then we'll read the next verse. On these things which you have learned. Let's go back to that. I like that. So finally, brethren, he tells you to all these things, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these what? These things. I did it in the Charlie Riley Amplified Bible. Except what I did this time is I did the opposite of what that verse says. Okay? So now, the peace of God is going to rule your heart and mind because you prayed, right? Right? Okay, did we miss that part? Everybody get that? Okay, now, watch. Here's what the Charlie Riley Amplified Version says the opposite of that verse is. The next verse says this. Whatever is a lie, whatever things are undignified, whatever things are unjust, whatever things are polluted and perverted, whatever is evil, whatever things give an evil report and distract you and deceive you, meditate on these things and you will have no peace. See, when you meditate on the wrong things, it chastises the peace of God in you. Yeah, yeah. If you meditate on the good things, you have the good things going on the inside of you. See, what this has to do with your perspective. The first one is prayer, but the next one is your perspective. You've got to keep your perspective in the right place for the peace of God to rule your heart. You can't be watching Friday the 13th, part 47, and expect to go to bed and sleep peaceful sometime. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? You can't allow all that stuff. We live in a culture that is so anti-messed up, backwards, upside down, that if you allow it, it will absolutely rob the faith of God out of you. Well, absolutely. Because let me ask you this. How many people you know, they think about whatever a lie is, they think about undignified things, they think about unjust things, they think about things that are polluted and perverted, they think about things that are evil, and they think about things that are evil report. They're constantly distracted, they're constantly deceived, and they meditate on those things, and then they want peace. How many of you know it doesn't work that way? How many of you know a bird can land on your head, but it doesn't have to build a nest there? That's a real redneck way of saying something. You get what I'm saying, though, don't you? Listen, don't allow the enemy to rent space in your head by opening yourself up to that. Well, Pastor Charlie, I want to walk in peace, and I'm praying, and at the same time, you're meditating on all these evil things that are not God, and then you wonder why you have no peace. Amen? Amen. See, the reality is your perspective is messed up. You can pray. Now, have the right perspective. Here's the last one, and I'm done. Next one you should have is the right path. Say, where do I get that? The next verse, look at this. These things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be what? The God of peace will be with you. He said, listen, the things you've seen me do, do those. See, it's one thing to hear them How many of you know it's one thing to join a health club? How many of you know it's another to go there? How many of you know I got books in my library I have not read? How many of you know it's hard to get what those books are saying without reading them? Yeah, absolutely. Here's the reality. The reality is you've got to do them. You know what the word says. Do it. How many of you know the Bible says forgive? I don't have any peace. I remember ministering to a lady one time. Her brother had molested her as a young child. She was ate up with bitterness. And I told her, I said, you're going to have to forgive your brother to move forward. She goes, I will not forgive my brother. How do I move forward? I said, you don't. She was offended, but I told her straight, you don't. And I did it in love. I tried to help her through it, but she was offended by it. But I said, listen, you got to forgive. You've got to forgive. See, it's one thing to know the Bible. It's another to do what the Bible says. You got to do it. See, listen to this. It starts with prayer. Letting your request be known unto God. And the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. That's what the peace of God will do. And then while I have that place, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to meditate on the right things. I'm not going to let evil reports. I'm not going to let evil things. I'm not going to allow all that stuff to suck the faith of God right out of me. And then whenever I know to do something that the Bible says to do, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. If the Bible says forgive, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to forgive. Bible says give, I'm going to give. If the Bible says whatever it says, I'm going to do what the Bible says. Why? Because when I obey God's word, the blessing follows. What is the blessing? The blessing is walking in peace. I get to walk in peace each and every day of my life. It is the highest commodity on this planet, peace. People will do anything for it. They'll take drugs. They'll get into lofty positions. They'll do all kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is the only way you get real peace is having a real relationship with Jesus, because he will bring that peace into your life. How many of you believe what I'm saying tonight? Give the Lord a big clap. Praise God.